check this out.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let me just get this off my chest, too.
Check this out.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Rodgers is...
We could talk Rodgers forever. They don't care what he does off the field.
We just win.
This stuff that you think is a distraction. Players don't care about that stuff. They love this guy as a teammate.
Earlier on the show, NFL on Fox analyst Greg Olsen, Saints head coach Dennis Allen. Coming up, Bills head coach Sean McDermott, two-time Emmy Award winning actor Bobby Cannavale. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right, hour number three of the show. Great chat with Greg Olsen last hour. Same thing with Dennis Allen of the New Orleans Saints. In hour number one, we've got Bobby Cannavale, who's got a beautiful new film out called Ezra, and Robert De Niro's in it with him. He also, I can't wait to hear his favorite Robert De Niro story.
Heard of him.
That's coming up. Vera Farmiga, who we all know and love. Rainn Wilson at Lunatic, our friend, the program.
Mm-hmm.
He's in this film as well. Rose Byrne. Whoopi Goldberg as well.
Hey.
Jeez, have a terrible cast like that. It's unbelievable. Bobby's going to be joining us in 20 minutes' time. The famed Gip Rossetti. Very well-adjusted man from Boardwalk Empire. Very, very well-adjusted character. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Okay. So we spoke to New Orleans Saints head coach Dennis Allen earlier. Joining us now on the Rich Eisen Show is the head coach of the Buffalo Bills. Year 8 for this man at the helm there in Western New York. Sean McDermott back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, coach?
We're doing great. Rich, how are you?
I'm doing great, too. What phase are we in? Where are you? What are we doing today? What's going on?
That's a great question. I ask myself the same question every morning. I wake up. Where am I? What's today? We're in the OTA phase, the phase three of our off-season program.
Yeah.
I've had great attendance, great weather here in Buffalo, and looking forward to getting outside to practice today.
Yeah, so, what are you thinking about as you're entering June, right, of a playing season a couple months from now?
Well, we're just we're trying to put together the pieces, really. I mean, I think every year you start fresh, and every year you start with a – called a scattered jigsaw puzzle, and you're just trying to see what pieces you have and how those pieces may fit together the best and try and keep it simple.
Yeah, I'm sure. It helps to have a unicorn at quarterback too, right? That helps to have that puzzle piece on the table already.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, everyone's looking for that, and we're fortunate that we have a player and a person like Josh Allen to lead our organization here.
Did you just finish a workout? I got to ask that question because you got that towel. You're wiping your brow.
Yeah, I was just boxing. I just
got out of the ring. Well, actually, that sounds like a playing season to me. A coach feels like he just got out of the ring. You know, that's what that sounds like.
That's what happens to us. We go through the season and we get beat up along the way. And once in a while, you need a towel or a towel, man, just to. Wipe the sweat off your brow.
Just a nice summer day there in Buffalo, in Western New York. Maybe that's what it is. So what is it like talking to Josh Allen, talking ball with him, now that he is Josh Allen? What is he like?
No, I mean, anytime you can be around, first of all, a person like Josh, and secondly, a talent like Josh, it's high-level stuff. I mean, you've got to come in and be prepared, whether you're the head coach, the coordinator or the position coach. And, I've found over the years to continue to take players like Josh to the highest level you can, you've got to be on your A game. And that's what he looks for and expects out of us as a staff. And then we expect the same from him as a player.
Obviously you've been around a lot of quarterbacks. You try to put a lot of quarterbacks on their behinds, in your previous roles and obviously currently now. When did you realize first that he was different than others? When was that first moment?
Sean? You know what? Honestly, Rich, it was probably before we drafted him, just through that process, really watching a little bit of film in 2017 during our season of, who were the quarterback prospects out there in that draft class that year. And, Josh was on our radar, and you watched him. You got a feel for how he how he played the game, and right away you saw the competitive fire You certainly saw the arm strength, and but you also saw a guy that you know, his team likes to be around, and that was those are the three things that really jumped off the film.
Is there what about eye test? When was the first time you saw him throw in person then? When was that one?
Yeah, so we went out, Brandon, myself, ownership. We went out to Montana to work him out in the lead up to the draft there. And that workout, you know, honestly, I was hoping he'd still be around when we picked, knowing that we were going to try and position ourselves to move up. You just didn't know how other people saw him or valued him, and we're fortunate that we were able to get him.
Sean McDermott here on the Rich Eisen Show. And now, obviously, you take a look at the wide receiver room, and there's a lot of new names in there, Coach, a ton of them. And, you know, I heard, I guess, Khalil Shakir say that Joe Brady is using a phrase that everybody eats. What does that mean, everybody eats, Sean? What
does that mean? On Sunday, this past Sunday, coming off of Memorial Day, Memorial Day weekend into Monday, I think it was actually Monday, Memorial Day itself, Matt Collins, one of our receivers in that room, sends me a text Sunday evening, and I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, as life comes up for some of these guys this time of year, maybe he, you know, his flight got canceled coming back to Buffalo, what have you. No, it's a picture of a snake eating, and one of his snakes, in terms of one of his pets he has at home, eating its prey, and he says everybody eats on it. So it was a different way of saying it,
yes.
But that's the life that we live, right? That's the life of a head coach. So happy Memorial Day to everyone.
So so that's his way of, so everybody eats, meaning the opposition is going to be consumed by your offense? Is that what that means?
Yeah. No, your guess is as good as mine. I just roll with it, right? That's what we do.
What'd you respond? Did you give the thumbs up emoji? Hey, thumbs up to that, you know?
Yeah, I said, hey, really cool, man. That's awesome.
That works. That might suffice. Because I guess, because again, that's what everybody, certainly in my chair and probably Bill's Mafia, is trying to figure out, is how this is going to look. Right.
No,
now.
I get it. Yeah, I mean, that's the case this time of year, almost every season. But I get it. We don't, you know, maybe have the names that people are looking for, or have what some people would say is a true number one receiver. So listen, we are where we're at in terms of place and time, schedule, calendar. It's beginning of June in this case, almost end of May, right? So we're trying to, like I said, get a feel for what we have, and then put them in positions to help bring it all together.
So when you say Mac Hollins is sending you a photograph of, I guess, whatever Darwinism is happening in his pet cage or whatever, at home, I'm mandated to ask you if Keon Coleman has sent you any photographs or texts or any memes, because that kid seems to have a very unique perspective on life, Coach.
Yeah, very very active personality. But I'll say this: I think a lot of people see that because of the access, right, in the social media.
Yes.
And he does have a very lively personality day to day. But what I really appreciate in this short amount of time we've been together is how important football is to him, how important being a good teammate is to him, and the respect level he came in with for the building, for his teammates, really been cool to watch.
Yeah, the thing I've picked up from it, obviously, you know, him talking about his coats and asking if he can have the snacks on the side of the press conference room. The thing I've taken from it, though, is that he seems comfortable being himself, and he seems like a, you know, just like a normal, good dude who happens to be insanely talented at the wide receiver position, you know, and that counts for something. That's what I took from it, you know.
I would say you're spot on. I mean, when you watch just how he handles his business, rather self-assured in this unpredictable first few weeks, first year of a rookie NFL career. But again, I think it comes from his focus on what his goal is, what the team's goals are. And then also the way Josh has reached out to him and really tried to develop a good relationship early on here with him.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott here on the Rich Eisen Show. So we just talked to Keon Coleman. He was the first pick of the second night. It was your first draft choice after two trade outs in the first round. You know, listen, every coach I know is a type A control freak. What is it like sitting in a draft room having two first round choices traded and you're waiting to see who you're going to get? Coach, what is that like for you?
Well, I think most coaches would tell you that that gets a little bit unnerving, right? Just from the standpoint of, you know, we in the coaching end of things need players. Listen, we're all better. I think we're all better. We would all admit, I think the good coaches, at least the honest coaches, would say we're all better with better talent on our rosters, right? So, so yeah, I mean, you're watching good players go off the board, but there was a plan in place, and Brandon executed the plan, and you know, Keon was there, and we were able to pick up some other picks along the way.
No doubt about it. So Keon was there, first pick of that night. I imagine though the phone was ringing like crazy. That is out of any draft choices in a draft, other than the ones that clearly are at the top of a draft for any team that is quarterback needy, that's with quarterbacks in the draft. Those are very valuable. But the first pick of the second night is absolutely a pick that most teams would want to have. You get the whole day to sit on it. You get the whole day to think about it. You also get the whole day of the phones ringing. I imagine your phone was still ringing off the hook to be trading out of that spot, too.
Yeah, that, as you know, that's a popular pick.
Oh, yeah. Right?
You hold control of the you're in the driver's seat of that round, so to speak. And there's a lot of people trying to get up into either the bottom third of the first round or the top part of the second round because of exactly what you said. All of us, GMs, head coaches, all control freaks, type A personalities that want to get that player, or we think that player can make the difference on our teams. So it's. It is a good position to be in, and we were in it.
A few minutes left with the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, Sean McDermott. I've got your schedule to pop up on the screen right here. When you first saw this a couple weeks ago, middle of May, you thought what when you first saw this?
Like we do every year, all the respect in the world for our opponents. And we'll get to that part, but right now we've got to really focus on the here and now, which is, as I said, you know, winning the day, putting our focus in the present moment and really getting a feel for who we are as a team and how we can bring this thing together.
But you like a week 12 bye? Again, I know you have no control over it, but is that to your preference, week 12?
I would say it's not bad overall, but again, we have absolutely no control over it, so I'm not going to be one to call the league and say, hey, can we move this around a little bit?
Yeah, right. Well, you're not going to get
it. Just like anything else. Just like the way the schedule lays out with the opponents, the teams are going to play, where we're going to play. I think we have the first 4 out of 6, I believe, on the road. It is what it is, right? We move on and we get ourselves ready to go.
What's your opinion? Because, again, this hasn't been done yet, but it's out there that the Players Association is putting together a proposal to reconfigure the way teams do business on the field in the non-playing season leading up to training camp, where on-field OTA work would maybe be centralized into a period in June leading up to a ramp-up period directly into a training camp in July into August. Do you like that concept, Coach?
Well, yeah. I mean, everyone's always going to have their sides of the story or the positions that they think are best for what's best for them. That's why they call it the negotiation, right? So
right.
Those things will work themselves out in time, and I trust that the powers that be will get it done for the betterment of everyone involved.
But you must have an opinion. Right, Sean, you're sitting there. You must have an opinion. You want to, as a coach, you might have an idea or two what's best for you and your program. Come on. What do you have?
Come on, Rich.
No, but honestly,
I have an opinion on.
What do you have an opinion on?
Is the 40-yard dash that you run.
We're not talking about my training regimen. We're talking about the training regimen of the Buffalo Bills that could potentially be affected by a plan that's in front of maybe the commissioner of the NFL soon. You know what I mean? That's where I'm going.
I trust that the powers that be, Commissioner Goodell and the leaders at the top will make sure that they make the best decisions for the betterment of the league and the great product that we have. So I understand where you're coming from. Okay. I understand everyone's angst over it. And to be quite honest, I do have my own angst over it, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think they're really going to care what I say in this matter. But, they'll figure it out.
Okay. So what is your opinion of my 40-yard dash then, Coach? What do you think? What I got?
I think you've got tremendous short area bursts. and... Look at this form. Like, yes. We've been working a lot on speed around here.
Yes.
I mean, you're really like hand in the pocket type of, I mean, that's Carl Lewis-esque.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Right? Yep. I agree. I have that feeling too, but the short area burst is like 1 yard. That's my burst, unfortunately. You know, I just, gravity is my problem.
Is what yard did that come in?
One, the 1 yard line, you know?
Yeah.
That's it.
That was it? The start or the finish?
I have a different sense of everybody eats, Sean. You know what I mean? Like, that's my problem. That's my issue from the very start. But last one for you. What's the dodgeball stuff? I saw this. What's going on with the dodgeball? What'd you do?
Yeah. Well, we just try and, you know, we try and integrate some things once in a while to break up the off season, helping our players enjoy some quote unquote conditioning exercises and compete a little bit. And it's fun to watch these guys. I mean, this is something as simple as dodgeball that we've all played since elementary school.
Yes.
And you watch these professional athletes. Look at the looks on their faces.
Intense. Right? These guys intensity. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is fun to watch, I'll tell you that.
We're gonna put
personalities come out.
Yep.
Leadership comes out. It's an interesting, call it 30, 45 minutes.
Are you break down the film later on? Is that what you're saying? To see who's whatever digging?
It's the cool thing is you're able to mix up offense, defense, special teams. And, I mean, sometimes you got to separate guys because it gets so competitive.
Yeah, we should put this on the Ocho. You know what I mean? Like, you do that. I don't know if you saw dodgeball. At least they're not throwing wrenches, Sean.
I can't imagine getting hit by a dodgeball from
Josh Allen.
Allen.
Josh, I wouldn't want him.
Yeah. I'm on his
pegging
team.
Me as a good one. As a I wouldn't want him throwing a dodgeball at me at all. Look at him.
No, we make the quarterbacks go left-handed. They throw.
Okay. That's only right. Okay. Next level. Coach, thanks for the time. Really appreciate you taking the moments here in phase three or whatever phase you said you're in. And I appreciate that you join the program whenever you do. Thanks.
Thanks, Rich. All respect, buddy.
Back at you. That's Sean McDermott, head coach of the Buffalo Bills here on the Rich Eisen Show. Fun stuff. There he goes. By the way, that was a quick trigger finger. He was done.
He's out.
Out. Hitting the end conversation button.
That was like Cage when it's time to end a FaceTime.
Is that what it is?
He doesn't even say goodbye. He's like, I want to hit the red button. See ya.
Oh, bye.
There's no bye.
Doesn't care.
You know who hangs up before he says goodbye? Like, he'll go goodbye, and it goes goodbye. Out. You know who does that? Dan Patrick.
Just
hangs up in the middle of his goodbye.
That's Irish goodbye to phone
every
call.
Time. He does that every time.
I do that a lot to people.
I actually call back if I do that.
Huh?
I call back if I do that.
Because I'm one of those guys. Yeah, I want closure. I want excellent closure.
I
want
to have that.
Dan closes himself. You know?
For years, I would do this with my friends. We'd be talking, and I'd go, hey, remember this? And then I'd hang up.
TJ.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. People get the Weber Slate rust-resistant griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that is safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees, too. The Weber Works prep, cook, and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need when you get fired up for your new Weber Slate rust-resistant griddle. You know who's also rust resistant? Bobby Cannavale. Oh. Look at this guy. This was him taking a selfie
job.
Of his
park job
in Brooklyn.
That's his green car there.
That's
like,
right.
2 inches on either side.
I mean, that's a New Yorker.
Insane.
You've got to have skill to pull that off.
Yeah, it's great.
And balls. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. I was so delighted when I heard this. Hey, is it you up for talking to him? And the answer is yes. He's Bobby Cannavale, and he's got a new movie, Ezra, in theaters nationwide tomorrow. Where are you joining us from right now, Bobby? Where are you?
Boy, it's beautiful here, Rich. It's so gorgeous. I'm here in Brooklyn.
I don't remember Brooklyn looking like that, Bobby. I don't remember that.
I didn't make the bed. Otherwise, you'd be seeing my unmade bed behind me. And who wants to see that?
Oh, really?
It's just a bed because of, restless sleeping. So, what's up, Rockman? What up,
hey,
Mike
buddy.
D?
Good to
what's
see
happening,
you, man?
Bobby?
What's going on?
Good, we're good.
Yeah.
Great to see you, buddy.
TJ Jefferson is part of our program now. He wasn't part of the show when you were here.
Bobby and I hosted last time.
There you go. Yeah, 10 years ago, you hosted this show.
Yeah, about that. Did you guys mention Joe Latrullio was on the show his dad?
His dad was on as well that day. I didn't know that.
His dad. I put him on, because he was here. He was there anyway. So I talked to him a little bit, too. I tell you, man, that was I've never done anything like that since. I probably won't do something like that. When I tell people how long I hosted that show, it was hours.
But you've done Broadway. Hours. You've done Broadway plays longer than that. You've done two plays in a day.
I know, bro. But I got a script when I'm doing that. I had no script. I remember. I just kept asking what time it was. I think I asked what time is it about 100 times in those 3 hours.
You're supposed to do that as a radio host. We're 10 minutes past the hour. Instead, you're like, how long have I been on? How much more?
Who else was a guest? I'm just remembering this. You know who else was a guest? Sebastian Maniscalco.
Before
he became gigantic.
Oh, I think you're right about that.
Yes.
I think you're right about that. And
yes.
John C. McGinley was here.
Wait a minute. Right. So Sebastian Maniscalco's first appearance on this show was with you.
Well, I gotta look that
did
up.
You know? Did you know him? Like when he was just coming up and getting started?
Well, we all got to know each other, Rich. No, we did not know each other, and I'm not sure he liked me very much. I think I tried a couple jokes on him. I was like, what about this one? What about this one? I'm just trying to kill time there, buddy. I'm not like Johnny C. Clearly rehearsed, for weeks before he did your show. He had a jacket on. I did not know what I was in for, but it was fun.
Now, I know you did Glengarry Glen Ross with him on Broadway. That I know. You did that.
I did.
Johnny C. That's when you and Pacino were doing Trodden the Boards there on Broadway. I remember that.
That's right.
I saw that.
I was playing Ricky Roma to his Shelley Levine.
And now you're doing this movie with De Niro, which is out in theaters near you tomorrow.
That, huh?
You and De Niro, Vera Farmiga, Rayan Wilson, Whoopi Goldberg, Rose Byrne, your wife. Get a better cast next time.
Little boy. William Fitzgerald.
That's right, William Fitzgerald. Get a better cast next time.
Yeah,
Bobby.
How about that? I now have had De Niro and Pacino play my dads,
dude. If I told you that when you're getting started? Hey, you're gonna have Pacino and your dad and De Niro play your father and stuff.
Yeah, I would not have. I would have believed it, but I probably would have believed easier that Morgan Freeman was gonna play my dad.
So let's get to it here. Give me a good De Niro story. What do you got for me? What do you got for me, Bobby?
You know, I will say this, like, you know, I worked on it. I worked on that movie, The Irishman, with Bob.
Right.
And, first let me go back because, you know, I never dreamed I'd even meet Bob De Niro. And then all of a sudden, like, he came to a play that I was in. So I thought, coincidence, he just came to see this play. But he came backstage and he said, you know, and that was the first time we met. I did this play, I don't know, 15 years ago, and he came back. And then every play subsequently after that, he would come to. Mm. You know, he's not the most, he's not like a verbally demonstrative guy. He's not like overly effusive at all. He doesn't speak in hyperbole. He's just like you would imagine, you know, just a lot of facial expressions.
Yes.
That you just, you go, I know he likes me, you know, he kept coming and coming. And I just, he didn't have to say it. I could tell, like, he likes me. I think he likes me. And then, when The Irishman happened, we had a lot of scenes together. And he, it's the same thing. He doesn't talk a lot. There's not a lot of conversation. But man, nobody's better. Nobody's more prepared. Like, I really have learned that from Bob, from just being on set with him. You know, I remember one day there was like Harvey Keitel was there. His friend Paulie was there. Joe Pesci was there. Marty, of course. All these guys, and then all these other guys from the neighborhood that he grew up in, because Marty likes to put these guys in the movies.
Yes.
So, like, I had a day where it was all childhood friends of Bob's in the scene. There's a scene in The Irishman where I'm like eating a steak.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, I first meet him, and all those guys at the table grew up with him in the neighborhood in Little Italy, And Bob didn't chit chat with them. Bob was just by himself, just reading, keeping calm, not taking the bait of all the activity that was going around. You know, it's a lot going on in a set. And I gotta say, man, I learned a lot from that, because in The Irishman, I did a lot of watching Bob in the scenes, and I got just eaten up. And to be perfectly frank, I got a couple scenes cut, I think, because I was just staring at Bob. You know what I mean? I wasn't doing much acting myself. And so on this movie, I learned my lesson, and I have a scene in this movie where we're in a Cadillac Eldo all day long in this convertible, and it's a beautiful day. We're shooting in New Jersey, and there's like no chit chat. I mean, it was like 10 hours of we'd do the take, and he'd like put his hand on my lap and give it a smack, you know, give it a little slap, like, good job. Or he'd reach over and squeeze my shoulder, or he'd give me like a, you know.
Well, that's good. And, yeah.
Amazing. Just amazing. And so I have to say, like, it's a great thing to learn later in your life. Like, I'm still pretty amped up guy. And to dial it back and to just relax, I learned from the best. Well, I mean, that guy, nobody more relaxed.
There's a beautiful movie, Bobby, Ezra, and you play a stand-up comedian, and De Niro plays your dad, and your wife in real life playing your ex-wife, Rose Byrne, here. And William Fitzgerald is a neurodivergent actor playing your son with autism, and I'll give you the floor on the rest of it here, on what happens you're willing to reveal.
Yeah, so when we find my character, I've just been fired from my job as a comedy writer for Conan O'Brien for punching him in the balls. And so we learn pretty quickly that this guy is a pretty reactive guy and impulsive guy. And then we meet his son, who we learn is a very reactive and impulsive kid who's on the autism spectrum, and he's being expelled from his school. And my ex-wife and I disagree on what the next step should be. I don't think he should be medicated. She thinks we should consider it. I don't think he should go to a special needs school. She thinks he should. And I think that the world should just get used to his uniqueness. And so we fail to agree. And so in the middle of the night, I steal my dad's car, the Cadillac Eldorado, And I take off on a road trip with him. And I don't know what I'm going to do or where I'm going, but I'm going to try to figure it out with him. And that's the movie.
And that is the movie, directed by Tony Goldwyn with Whoopi Goldberg in it. So that's a nice little ghost connection right there. And De Niro playing your dad, and you playing a dad yourself, trying to figure something out. It's beautiful. I don't want to give too much away of how it ends, Bobby, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is a nice, it's a nice movie. And, you know, it came about very organically. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I've been doing this a long time now, and I've done more independent films than probably big, big budget films.
Yeah.
But I've done my share of them, of those big movies. And I have to say, it's just different and more exciting and much more rewarding when you are with a movie from the ground up and you've sort of built it and put it together. And this movie was really special like that. You know, it happened like The Station Agent was like that. This movie took a while to make. It took us a long time to find William. We were committed to hiring a neurodiverse actor. It took us a while to get Bob to sign on. We had to work on that script for a while. And it's nice. And here we are now, and it's coming out in the movie theater in a climate where like movies don't come out in the movie theater as much as they used to.
Right.
And so I'm really proud of it. I'm really proud that this little movie is opening in theaters today.
So for those who are listening on the radio, Bobby Cannavale showing up wearing his Yankee hat very rakishly, very C.C. Sabathia with the sort of, you know, straight bill, a little bit tilted. And Yankees are looking
good. Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer, C.C. Sabathia, right?
I think so. And Yankees winning with future Hall of Famer Juan Soto leading the way right now. I mean, it's pretty sweet.
How about it? Rich, what are the Phillies have one game on us, right? Of all the teams?
Took my youngest son last night to the game in Anaheim. I was there last night watching Luis Gil do his thing and crush it. He's got to be the pitcher of the month of May in Major League Baseball. It was great. It's pretty cool right now, Bobby. It feels good. Feels good.
Very cool. We don't even have Ace One.
That's true.
Yet.
That's right. And if Gerrit Cole does come back at all, I mean, obviously that's what we call important, if not gravy on top. But it's pretty good. Yeah. Have you gone any games, or you just been too busy?
Yeah, I did. I went to an Astros game that they lost. Unfortunately,
that's the only one of the AC. Only one they lost to the Astros. Are you
only
the cooler?
One that they lost?
Are you the cooler, Bobby? Are you?
I think so. Okay. I think so.
Damn,
it was not a good game. Although Aaron Judge hit his hardest home run of the year, Major League home run, and I got to tell you, it was worth being there to hear that sound.
All right,
dude, it was like guttural. That. Dook. That home run, I never heard anything like that before, honest to God.
And what do you think of the Jets this season, Bobby? What are your two cents on that?
As usual, I don't want to talk about it. Because you know what? I'm going to let QB1. I'll let you let QB1 do all the talking. How about that guy? Jesus Christ.
Well,
I just need him to get on the field, stay on the field, and lead us to victory. That's it. You know, I don't want to talk about whether I think Tariq Cohen is a great signing. I don't know. I just want Aaron Rodgers to stay healthy and do his thing.
Right. And do his thing and be healthy. And of course, the first game's against San Francisco, which fields Leonard Floyd now, the guy who snapped his Achilles last year. So get to see him in night one on a Monday night, as if that's not a little old lang syne for you. But we'll see. We'll see what happens, brother. We will see.
Yeah, that's all we can do, right? I mean, I feel like we exhausted all of the talk last season, right? Yep. We exhausted it all.
Oh, my God. Did they ever.
First and 10, dating myself. We did the Hard Knocks.
That's
right.
First and 10, you're right. Look at you. You are dating yourself with an HBO show. Yeah. My gosh. My God.
First and 10 might even predate Arliss.
Let's see.
Right?
Arliss.
I think we exhausted all the talk. I mean, in fact, we should just rerun Hard Knocks from last year.
Yeah. Just have Aaron Rodgers in a new taxi cab confession. You know what I mean? We could do that.
Yeah.
We could mix them all up. I don't know if we could pilot that one. No, you don't want to do that one. All right. So Ezra is in theaters nationwide tomorrow. Everyone should go see it. An incredible cast, a touching story. De Niro playing your dad. You got time to sneak in that
Park that the car? Story, you want to go park the car again?
No, not park the car. You got that time to sneak amazing. In the living with Pacino story, Bobby? You got time to sneak that in there?
What do you mean?
Didn't you live with Pacino? Didn't you bunk with him, or he stay with you at one point out here in Los Angeles? Did that not happen? Am I misremembering something?
No, we definitely haven't.
You never bunked with Pacino?
No, I've been to the houses and I've stayed pretty late, but I always go home.
You told a story that you knocked on the door. Well, maybe you didn't stay there.
Yeah, that wasn't
like that.
During the Danny Collins movie. I thought you did say that.
Okay. No.
So,
I guess not. All right, so maybe we should park the car in the meantime.
But I love him, you know. I love him. I mean, I would if he wanted me to. I would spend the night.
Okay.
You
know? By the way, First and 10 was 1984.
Wow. Well, that predates even the Red Shoe Diaries. Well, was that Showtime? Yeah. I forget all.
No, that predates
late night.
That does predate that, but it does it. And it also, I think that's around the time the movie channel started. Not to go off on a tangent here, but I remember when the movie channel started, and remember that was the only channel that had rated R movies during the daytime. Yeah. I used to call in sick to school a lot. You know what I mean? Right? Postman always rings twice. Is on at 11.
Great to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, Bobby.
Good to see you guys.
Take care, brother. Be well. Right. Take care, man. That's Bobby Cannavale from beautiful Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn? I thought he was
Boy,
in
the backgrounds. The backgrounds Hawaii. We've had today, man. All right.
Yeah, Arliss wasn't until 90.
I thought he told that story. Didn't he tell a story about...
He did. He's misremembering.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah,
okay.
All right.
We'll take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. When we come back, the NFC South teams, I've got... a couple of them with a chance to make the Super Bowl and win it.
Oh.
In my best
NFC South?
Glass half full scenarios.
The NFC South.
Of the NFC South. Oh, okay. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Rich Eisen Show. Hey, everybody. Game Time tickets. Make sure that you get that app and put it on your mobile device right away. That's how I took Coop to the baseball game last night.
Oh,
it was great. You got to see the view from your seat. You got to find the seats on this very easy to follow map that had the prices right on the seat. And then, you know, the price corresponded to what showed up on the all-in prices. And I got to see the taxes and applicable fees and everything before I hit the purchase button. And basketball finals tickets, if you're thinking about going to a basketball finals game, if you're in either one of the towns of the basketball finals participants, thinking about how cool it would be to go to a game, just know that prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to tip-off. It's even faster and easier getting basketball final tickets when you use Game Time because the guesswork's removed when you buy basketball finals tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use my code RICH, you get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account and redeem our code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. In case you're wondering how things go here on the show, sometimes we really put some hard work into coming up with segment ideas. We'll talk about it. We'll have meetings. We'll do stuff like that. Or right before the show, I'll turn to Mike Hoskins, our coordinating producer, saying, yeah, I want to do this. And you guys over here and go, yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
And the higher register, I'll just ignore and say, I think it is a good idea. So we decided, certainly since we've been inspired by Bill Walton's line to me years ago, and his handwritten note to me, sending me a $1,000 check for a broken windshield he didn't purposely break, and a check I would never cash. And the note that he wrote at the end, shine the light, be the light.
I love that.
So we want to be positive. We want to come up with positivity. So we came up with an idea where over the next several days, division by division, I'm going to map out the best case scenarios, I believe, that are entirely feasible for all teams. Best case scenarios coming up. And we did the NFC West yesterday. We're about to do the NFC South today. We even have a drop now? Is that what
yes.
you're saying? Okay.
Oh.
I'll hit it.
Best case scenario for each Coach NFL team.
Yeah, here we go.
All right. All right, here we go. Here we go. Very well done. NFC South today. Let's start with the Carolina Panthers. They had two wins last year. The record for most improved wins year over year in the history of the NFL is 10. It's 10.
Whoa.
The Indianapolis Colts, the year before Peyton Manning, had three wins. The year after having Peyton Manning, 13. Okay.
That doesn't count.
So we're going to throw that out.
Yeah.
I will say this. Best case scenario, Coach Canales shows up and his offense starts cooking, right? And their first round draft choice, Xavier Leggett and Jonathan Brooks, they drafted that kid, the running back, out of Texas. And you add them to the mix of some of the veterans that are already there. And the Bryce Young, the light goes on in a way that it didn't last year. And the defense balls out, despite, you know, Brian Burns not being there anymore. I will say this. I think the best case scenario is plus six wins.
Oh.
And they go 8-9 and they or plus seven wins. I'll even say that. But that's a very, very tall order. So they're just a game above 500, I think, is the best case scenario. To go from two wins to nine wins, I think, is really glass half full, and that's where I'll go with that one. The New Orleans Saints, we got them in year one. Cliff Kubiak is their new offensive coordinator. You already heard earlier on this program Dennis Allen say he thinks the offense is going to be significantly different. They've only done it the Sean Payton way, essentially, because Pete Carmichael was a holdover from the Sean Payton era and Dennis Allen's first couple years there. So I'm going to go out and say, you know, Kamara's still there. You know, they've got some really – Olave is going to potentially take a step forward. You know, they've got some good players there. Taysom Hill is still giving out some of the business.
Yeah.
And Derek Carr's first full year under his belt, living in the Bayou. Now he's got a new offense here. I'll say this team winning the division and making the divisional playoff round, I think, is feasibly the best case scenario for them. With the ultimate of respect and the defense, you know, they've got Lattimore, Tyrann Mathieu. I know Cam Jordan's not going to appear on the program now because I'm not saying that they could win their division and make an NFC championship game or win a Super Bowl. I just feel if I sit here and say the Saints can win the Super Bowl this year, I'd be out of I'd be out of pocket.
But I think you nailed it with them.
Thank you. Next up, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay.
I think the best case scenario for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year is winning the Super Bowl. I think this team that had a possession to make it a really tight game for the Detroit Lions in the divisional round last year, you could sit here and say that they were on fumes, that they were basically running at maximum power, but they have a team that is being brought back. The chemistry is there. Baker has been paid. Evans has been paid. A bunch of guys are being brought back. Levante David is back. And I think that would permeate a locker room in such a way that they could win this division, maybe get a couple of home playoff games, and go to the playoffs and shock the world. Best case scenario. Am I saying it's going to happen? I can't sit here and say a team that was one of the final eight teams has no chance to win the Super Bowl this year in a best case scenario. If we're going glass half full, and that's the way we're walking into this segment, how can you sit here and say a team that did that last year and the general manager said, we believe in you, we're bringing you back. They got a kid in the draft out of Duke that will hopefully replace Ryan Jensen successfully in the middle of that offensive line. Tristan Wirfs is on the left tackle. Stay healthy and go win some games.
Like 12-5, 2-3
right.
Seed.
Yeah.
Go to San Francisco, score the upset.
Shock them. And Baker Mayfield is Baker friggin' Mayfield.
Yeah, yeah. Like a 40-touchdown season from him.
Listen, best case scenario.
Yeah, best case. Yeah.
Okay. Best case scenario for the Atlanta Falcons. Here you go. They win the Super Bowl. And they give Arthur Blank his trophy. And they made every right move from signing Kirk Cousins and going and get Raheem Morris as their coach. And he's putting something on the table of what he's selling. And everyone buys in. And Kyle Pitts has the season of his life. And Kirk Cousins finally has a spot in a dome, in a division, that he can go in and start throwing it around. He looks as spry as ever. Defensively, this team balls out because Raheem Morris is bringing his style of play. And on top of it, just for good measure, a couple of games that Cousins maybe gets hurt in or gets knocked out in, Michael Penix comes in and wins both of them and shows that, yes, we needed this kid. He also, in a Super Bowl year with Kirk Cousins, gets the requisite amount of reps and real-time action in the NFL to start him off on the program that they are now going to be viewed as wisely undertaking. Get the kid who's next while you've got the veteran here to put the one in the case for Arthur Blank that they wanted to do. Is that the best case scenario for the Atlanta Falcons?
1,000%.
Would that be just off the charts best case scenario for them?
But no quarterback controversy, right?
At all.
So Kirk's out a week with a concussion.
Right, and he comes
Penix
back.
Penix starts, wins the game, right. Boom.
Kirk's
job.
Just well enough to win, doesn't screw it up.
Right.
Kirk gets maybe gets job. A couple more yeah. times. And of course,
still going.
No controversy at
no
all.
No controversy.
Because it's clearly Kirk Cousins' team, yeah. and they had such a great start. That it's his team and they love him and he loves them and Atlanta loves him and he loves Atlanta and Penix gets a couple of games in there, maybe a couple wins in, and they go and they win the Super Bowl.
Kyle Pitts scores.
In New Orleans.
In
the home of the Saints. Oh my God, is that the best case scenario for the Atlanta Falcons?
Kyle Pitts scores American touchdowns.
All of them.
Bijan, 1,600. Drake London.
Correct. Cousins is MVP. Offensive player of the year is Bijan Robinson. Penix gets some wins. They win the Super Bowl in New Orleans.
That would go over great in my house.
I'm just saying, you want best case scenarios?
There it is.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Okay. And that's how we wrap up this program. Fun stuff with Bobby Cannavale and Greg Olson. And I want to thank the coaches of the Saints and the Bills, Dennis Allen and Sean McDermott, for joining us on this program. On tomorrow's show, in studio, all second hour, Tom Pelissero and his beautiful hairdo and his haircut.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker.
Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a 3-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.